So I want to start out with this question today. Why does Christmas matter to you today? And I know when I say that question, a lot of us think, well, we love being here, we love singing, we love the traditions, we love being with family, we love everything that goes with Christmas. But that's not what I'm asking. I love all that stuff too, it's wonderful. The question is, why does it matter for you today? Or more precisely, why does it matter for the other 364 days out of the year? That's what I want to explore for our time here. So let's take a look at this first verse. If you want to put that passage from Isaiah up there, thank you. This is this passage, which we just heard Pam read for us. And it is one of those things that is always read at Christmas. And there's a good reason it's always read at Christmas. Because there's this prophecy that God gives the prophet Isaiah, "For unto us a child shall be born, his government shall be on his shoulders, his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And that's what I want to hang on to today, that Prince of Peace. And you see in the parentheses the word shalom. That's actually the Hebrew word for peace. And I want to spend some time exploring that. Because if you know one Hebrew word, you know shalom. And it gets a greeting, it's a farewell. But it means peace. But it also means a little more than just not fighting. Because if you've had any sort of other interactions with human beings, like you breathe, you know there's times you're fighting with people, and you know there's times that you're not fighting with people, and even sometimes if you're not fighting with people, it's still not what you'd call peace, kind of that cold, icy silence. You're not technically fighting, but it's not what you'd call shalom. The way it works in the Old Testament is when nations are at shalom with one another, they're not just not fighting, they're trading with each other, they're supporting. And the word just has a sense of wholeness, of completion. A stone in the book of Joshua could be shalom because it doesn't have any cracks in it and you can make it into an altar. A wall can be shalom because it surrounds the whole city. And for us as people, when we have shalom, we're whole, we're complete. And we know this intuitively. And we know what it means to not have that peace, and we know what it means for us. I would wager everybody in this room, I'm going to describe somebody, and I bet you can put a face to that in your own life. There's that person, you know, I know, we all know, and they have been through stuff, and they have their collection of aches and pains and betrayals and hurts. And because of that, they tend to lash out at the people around them. Perceived slights, bigger slights, and they just, anything will set them off. And you know who that person is. And if you can't think of that person, it might be you. Let's just be honest here. But the reality is a lot of us don't have that sense of peace. Let me tell you this story for myself. Many, many decades ago, when I was young, I was interning at a church out in Seattle. And I had an interaction or two occasionally with the bishop. And I know this is going to be a shock to all of you, but I did not do well with authority figures when I was younger, especially ones that I thought were pompous gas bags. In fairness to the guy, I was young and immature. He might not have been that pompous, but regardless. We were at some event together, and he had the traditional bishop shepherd staff. You've probably seen one of these. They're, 6 feet high, and they look like a shepherd's crook for historical and theological reasons. And I remember seeing he had his shepherd's staff there, and it was beautiful. It was this beautiful hunk of blonde wood, and it was ornately carved in this Pacific Northwest style. It was gorgeous. But I was making some snarky remarks about if I was ever bishop, I would just get myself a hockey stick because it's good for whacking around the heretics. And I don't remember the words he said to me, but the meaning was pretty clear. I remember the meaning these 7-8 decades later. The meaning was simple. Shut up, kid, or you're never going to get a real job. I shut up at that point. I tell you that story because that smart aleck remark, the snarky stuff I said when I was in my 20s, came out of not having a sense of peace. It came out of wanting to have significance, of trying to make my mark on the world, trying to feel like I don't know who I am, and I'm restless, and I don't know where to go. And my question for all of you is, how does that play out in your life? How are those moments where you don't have that peace, that shalom, and how does that manifest itself? What's the self-destructive behavior that hits you? Is it the shortness, the hopelessness, the snarkiness? What is it? Because, my friend, that is why Christmas matters today. Let me show you this. If you'd put up that next slide, please. 600 or 800 years after Isaiah speaks these words, the angel Gabriel shows up to speak to a young woman in this little town called Nazareth. And he says, you're going to have a child. And his name will be Jesus. And he goes on to pretty much quote this thing from Isaiah, and he says, he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of the father of his father David, and he will reign over the house Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And I want to focus in on that, his kingdom will have no end. Because so often what we do is we think, okay, Jesus was here. He did this stuff. He did the miracles. He did the healings. He did all this stuff. And then he gets crucified, raised from the dead, and he ascends into heaven. And we're just stuck here without him. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what actually happens. So let's go back to God's kingdom. You see, when Jesus is here on earth, what he's always saying, he's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. And he's talking about how God is always breaking into this world. And I want you to think about this. Whenever Jesus did those miracles, whenever Jesus heals the sick, when he restores sight to the blind, whenever he gives hearing back to the deaf, lets the lame walk, they are made whole. They are given shalom. They are given wholeness. The kingdom of God is breaking in. And for us, what we need to remember is the kingdom never ends. When Jesus ascends into heaven, the early church figures this out and they keep this and they say, hey, guess what? His kingdom never ends. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. We are called to be peace in this troubled world. We're called to live different, to share this peace which God has given us. And this is what was amazing in that time, that they took that seriously, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And friends, that's who we are called to be in this world. We're called to be ambassadors from the kingdom of God and speak in that way. I have this funny thing where I tend to pick up an accent pretty quick. And we were down in Texas when we were first married, first starting out. We were down there for a couple of years. And we all know that when you're in the Midwest, a non-alcoholic carbonated beverage is known as pop. Particularly, in Minnesota it is. I know Wisconsin's a little different. But anyway. But if you go down to Texas and you say, can I get a can of pop? They look at you like, what planet are you from? So I learned to say soda pretty quick. So when I got back to Minnesota, we were up there for my brother-in-law's wedding. And we're having a reception, and I'm kind of greeting people at the door, and I say, yeah, the beer cooler's over there, and the soda cooler's over there, and the food's over in the kitchen. And this woman looks at me, and she says, soda, you're not from around here, are you? And I'm like, yes, I am. I've just been gone for a couple of years. But the point is that we're supposed to speak like we belong somewhere else. We're supposed to speak with that peace of the kingdom of heaven. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that Jesus says, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Peace not as the world gives, but as I give. Friends, that's the wisdom and the greatness of the early church. They lived in that peace that Jesus gave them in the darkest of times. And that, my friend, is why Christmas matters these other 364 days out of the year. What we're going to do in a few minutes is we're going to turn out the lights and light candles as we sing Silent Night. And the reason that we do that is as a reminder that the light of Christ spreads in the darkness of this dark world. And that we, as a people of God, carry that light with us. And my friends, I want you to think about that tonight. Not just the light of God, but the peace of God. For his kingdom will never end. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for gathering us here. Thank you most of all for the light that you brought into this world, that we would know you and we would glorify you now and forever, as your kingdom has no end. Amen. If you would please.